I know.
Yeah, I'm wearing my watch walker.
Good morning. If you'd like to go ahead and have a seat, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on a beautiful December morning. Feels more like maybe September. I'd like to get started this morning with any announcements that need to be made. Yeah, Sherry. Anything else, Susan? Okay, and that's for the mission trip, December the 27th through the 30th. And you need to let Susan know what you're planning on doing as far as skiing or snowboarding or whatever. Anyone else for any announcements? Oh, Mary Beth, sorry. Yes, ma'am, it is. Anyone else?
I was wanting to kind of wait for Melanie, if you can tell about today at 3 and today at 7.
Okay.
We have a spot or two empty in the choir.
Also, he's not here this morning, but Matthew Riggs graduated from Tennessee Tech yesterday with his bachelor's degree. He's not here, but he did graduate yesterday with his bachelor's degree. Is that right, Rebecca?
Yes.
And, well, it was. Thank you. Are there any prayer requests? Yes, Susan. Okay. Did you have something to say?
Yes. Donna McCandless Callison, a lot of the people remember her from here, Gordon and Donna. Her husband now, Ed Callison, has esophageal cancer, and they have already done the surgery. He was in the hospital 18 days, and they're waiting for him to get his strength back to decide about the chemo. And her granddaughter, Claire, has been diagnosed with epilepsy. So keep Donna in your prayers. It's not been a good couple of months for her.
Melissa Miller used to live in our neighborhood, had a stroke. Jackson's her son. Lift up Melissa and Jackson.
Anyone else? Yeah, John. Anyone else? Please write these down on a card that's placed in the pew and put it in the offering plate so we can make sure it gets put on the proper prayer list. Is there anyone else? Okay. A prayer the people may pray. O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples and made yourself known to us in this hour. We'll pause for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Worship this morning is printed in your bulletin and it is responsive. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 138. Go tell it on the mountain. Shepherds kept their watching, for silence brought.
me to make one announcement. Well, actually, two announcements. The Gardeners have their grandbaby with them, and that's the first time that Gracie has been in church, I believe. And also, we're going to have an opportunity for you to select three or four Christmas carols, and they're found in your book from 122 to 162. Of course, we cannot sing all 40 of those, but this might be a time to stomp the instrumentalist. But that was Melanie's joke yesterday, or even at 8 o'clock. Let's pray. Lord God, over the mountain, over the sea, Lord, people came to tell us about you, about your son Jesus being born. And Lord, as we come today to worship, we pray, O Lord, that we could be so motivated that we would hear that story again and be challenged to go and tell it to someone else. Thank you, Lord, for the message. And thank you that someone would tell us. And thank you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ that we have salvation, we have eternal life, we have the hope of a future unending in your presence. Now, Lord, we pray for you to just dwell with us in these moments dedicated to you. And let us glorify you by all that we say and all that we do. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing. We'll put into words that which we believe through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Now it's time for us to have our call to confession. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The prayer of confession is in unison if you'd like to follow along. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom. Ignoring your promised judgment, we accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. Your mercy forgive us. Grant us your wisdom and seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world.
Amen. Assurance of forgiveness is from Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool.
Turn in your hymnal now, if you will, please, to hymn 133, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing one verse, and then we will sing one verse of four hymns at the selection time, down after children's time. So first verse only of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Omar and I have been working together trying to put some slides to go with this song, and I hope you'll enjoy it. We have done quite a bit of changing around on the sound system. I'm not sure that volumes are going to be good on this, but I guess I really didn't need to apologize beforehand, but... How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know He's not my own, not of my flesh, He's not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the Son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? For all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How can this be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? For all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise the king? How can I raise the king? How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? How could it be? How could it be?
The children will remain in the sanctuary. No? Do they have children's church stuff? Excuse me. The bulletin didn't say. So they do have children's church right after children's time. Yes, sir. Okay, after we sing the Christmas carols, then you may go to children's church. Okay?
hope you've had time to pick out some hymns. So we're going to come first serve, first come, first serve. So I'll take a number. 152. Okay. Another. 148. 32. 132. One more. 123. Okay. 152. One verse. 152, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, carol familiar, carols play, and one and sweet the words we sing of peace on earth, goodwill to men. 132. Since somebody picked 132, there was a, when the kids were still at home a few years ago, we always went out on Christmas Eve to look at Christmas lights. And invariably, we would start singing this hymn in the car. So this is a family favorite of ours. So, 132, Angels We Have Heard on High, verse 1.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. Thank you.
Make our offertory sentence and to give our tithes and offerings. The offertory sentence this morning is, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. If the ushers will please come forward.
Israel was waiting for the Messiah, and he came as a small child. Today the church and the Holy Spirit say again, Maranatha, which is translated from the native language of the apostles, Come, Lord. The Hebrew song is, Blessed is the one who cometh in the name of the Lord, Maranatha.
The shame.
this morning, the scripture lesson will be read by Travis Eckert.
The scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. That is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd said. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered to them, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them.
Praise be to God. Expectations. I'd like for you to think about that word and your expectations. Your expectations for Christmas, your expectations for many things, your expectations that you came here this morning with. There are many expectations. Advent is a time of expectation, waiting. What is your expectation concerning the Christ? We approach most every experience with some kind of expectation. It may be great expectation. It may be not so great expectation. It may be Lord expectation. It may be high expectation. We may come expecting a lot, and we may come expecting not much. There's a ball game on this afternoon. Some people are expecting the Titans to make it 5 in a row. Is that right? That's our expectation. Some people doubt it, but some people are expecting it. I heard it on TV last night. It must be so. Some people are expecting that. You got married. You had such great expectations. I guess you did. And some of you became rather disappointed rather quickly. My house, my wife did. But she has been above all my expectations. You go to a movie, you have certain expectations when you enter, or most of the time you do, you come out, and did your expectations get met or did they not? A trip, you have certain great expectations or certain expectations when you go on a trip. I'm going to enjoy this trip, or I'm going to be miserable the whole trip. We get to a war. We had great expectations when we entered this war, but have our expectations changed? often I hear, if only Daddy Bush had fulfilled our expectations. We expected him to do something a little bit different than he did. Or in many cases, if he'd only finished the job. Parenthood. Expectations of parenthood. Have your children disappointed you at all? Ever? Even for a moment? Well, guess what? You probably disappointed your parents too. They probably had greater expectations for you than you lived up to. But in some cases, you may have turned that around. You may have showed them more than they ever expected from you. Shopping. You go in shopping, what are you expecting? Good bargains. Nice clerks. Just what you want at the right price you want. So you go out with all these great expectations. Your visit to the restaurant. You go in, you expect it to be good, you expect the service to be fast, you expect to be waited on by a pleasant person, you expect. We're people of expectations. We go to a reunion. We expect to see everybody else old and gray, and we still the youngest looking one. It did happen to me. Y'all know that. Except my hair was probably the grayest of all, or almost. Job, we take a job, we have certain expectations. If we go to that job in the morning, we have certain expectations. Our religion, we enter into a religion, be it Christianity, be it something else. Let's don't talk about those others. We go with certain expectations, real or unreal. Justified or not. We go to a parade. What do we expect when we go to a parade? Well, I've got a long list here. You expect the horses to be right in front of the band, do you not? Every once in a while, they will change us. Put the band in front of the horses. But most of the time, we've seen it over and over and over. So we have just come to expect that the band will follow the horses. Right? Am I wrong on that? Okay. Band members and horse riders. Huh? The horsewoman. Going to school. What do we expect at school? We expect to learn something. We send our children to school. We expect them to learn something. And all parents expect their children to be top of the class, do we not? You got to be number one in the class. We go to school. We have great expectations. We come to take a particular course in school, and we may not know anything about it when we enter into it. We may not even know what the word means about that course, but we will enter it with some certain expectations. That's just the way we are. It could be good or it could be bad. We could say this will help me and it won't. We come to church. We have certain expectations. Did you expect anything this morning? Did you expect not much to happen? That's an expectation. Did you expect to be touched? Did you come expecting to be changed some way? Did you come expecting to be blessed? Or did you come expecting to be bored? Did you come expecting nothing to happen in your life or anybody else's life, just going through the motions? Or do you expect somebody to get the Holy Ghost and really get saved today? What do we come expecting? Trusting Jesus as Savior. We trust Him, but we all come with our expectations. And all of us evaluate where we have been. We say, well, that wasn't what I expected. And if we don't say it out loud, we think it. Well, you know, that really wasn't what I expected. How did you like it? Well, it was okay. What does that mean? That means it didn't live up to what we kind of expected. Or we might say, oh, that was much better than I expected. And I tell you, if you hadn't thought much about the program this afternoon, the cantata, I bet it'll be better than what you expected. You put 50 people in this little area up here, it's going to be good. How many is participating there? I'm the reader. They don't let me sing. You don't expect me to sing, but I do get to read and sit on the front row. Okay? Then someday, Sometimes we say, I didn't know what to expect, but I enjoyed it. So we are people of expectations, and we say all that to say that Advent is a time of expectancy. And we find in the scripture lesson, the people that came out to hear John were people of great expectation. They were wondering about the Messiah. Our Advent celebration is also expectations about Jesus, the Messiah. In the Advent season, which I believe is probably the most expectant time of our year, is there any time in your year that was more expectant, or you had more expectations than at the season of Advent? Probably not. The 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. From a secular point of view, we have great expectations. We have expectations of getting together with family and everybody being happy and smiling and nobody being unhappy. We have expectations of having special relationships or special meetings with friends. We have expectations of great parties. We have expectations of a bonus at work. We have expectations of eggnog, and we have expectations of fruitcake, whether we like it or not. We know we'll be served from fruitcake along the way, and I happen to like fruitcake, and I like fruitcake and eggnog, so I have some expectations of having some more fruitcake and some more eggnog between now and Christmas. Now, that they don't go together. They don't fit after Christmas. You have to do them all before Christmas. We have expectations. They go on and on. Lights, great displays. We went out Friday night to look at some of those Christmas displays, and my goodness, the lights. One man had to use 5 or 6 houses. How many volts was he pulling or something? Whatever it is when you plug all these lights in. And he said, well, I got this many from this house and from my house and this many from this neighbor's house and this many from this neighbor's house. But NES, I think he was in the NES portion of power, where they give you power, and they were so happy because they were setting him a lot of power. And this is especially true for the children. The children have super expectations. We sent them out. They have great expectations. Santa Claus, we expect him to come. Even poor children expect the Santa Claus to be there. He comes to the poor as well as the rich. We expect gifts. We have expectations concerning bicycles and video games and red wagons and fruit and candy and nuts, etc., etc., etc. But from a Christian viewpoint, or from our Christian perspective, if you will, Advent is certainly a time of expectation. Anticipation, this cantata, I've mentioned it. They're marvelous. They're marvelous. We have the Advent wreath to go 1 week a little bit more, kind of a building expectation. We have other celebrations of the birthday of Jesus. Last Sunday night, we came with great expectation with the youth, great expectation with the children, and we were not disappointed. Christmas Eve communion. What a great time in this congregation, but other congregations, as I hear the preachers talk about it or the members of other churches talk about it. Some, they come and gather as a group, Christmas Eve communion. We come as families or small groups, large families. Sometimes it'll be 40 spread out across here. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 or 6 or 2 or 3 maybe. But we come to the table of the Lord and remember His birth and His death. That He gave His life. He came. He was born to die, as one of the songs says. And we come with expectation that we will be blessed there. And people come again and again, year after year, to experience that blessing. At Christmas time or the Advent season, there is special giving. Special giving to each other. Yesterday, I mentioned to the Men's Fellowship / Lions Club meeting, the Lions Club came and ate breakfast with us, then went out and picked up the street trash on the highway, and we mentioned some needs for some people in the community. before we left, I was given $300. I told Carol this morning, this $300 is not mine. If I die on the way home or have a wreck or something, this goes to help the poor people right here in my pocket. If you come to me after church and are real hungry and can prove that you are in great need, I've got some money to share with you. Up to, well, I've done promised 100, so I've got 200. People just gave out of their abundance, out of their abundance. Special giving, sharing, remembering again and again that Jesus is the reason for having a Christmas season. Look at your lesson, if you will. Look to verse 15. Verse 15, we see that the people who had come out to see and to hear John, he was a sight to see, evidently, to see and to hear John the Baptist preach, were people of great expectation, and they were expecting the Messiah. They had waited and waited. They had heard about him all of their life. Their parents had heard about the Messiah coming to save us, and they were saying, maybe this is the one. The people were waiting expectantly, and they were all wondering in their heart if John might possibly be that long-expected Jesus, or that long-expected Savior. John was so much like Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite, considered the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, or the greatest prophet in all of Judaism and Christianity, considered the revelation of God in a special way. The one that didn't even experience death, but was taken up in a fiery chariot, a flaming chariot, into heaven as his helper Elisha looked on. And they wondered if John, since he was somewhat like Elijah, if he really was the fulfillment of the prophecy, the Messiah, the Christ. He had been foretold to coming, to be one coming after the pattern, if you will, of Elijah. The Jewish people, they had been longing. They had been waiting. They had been hoping. They had been anticipating. They had been expecting. And when John came on the scene and he was gathering a crowd and he was preaching like nobody had preached for, I think, 400 years or thereabout, at least that's the recording that we have, they thought, Finally, God has fulfilled His promise to us. God did not leave us destitute. He has finally come to our rescue. He is finally here. Or they thought that it might be Him. He had sent His Redeemer. Some must have asked John if he was the Christ, because in verse 16 it says, he answered them all, and twice before in this passage, they asked and he answered. They asked and he answered. And then in verse 16 it just says, he answered them all. He told them, read it with me if you will. He told them, verse 16 and verse 17. What did he tell them? I baptize you with water. But one more powerful than I will come. So he was saying, no, I'm not the one. But there is one coming. And he was speaking of Jesus, who was 6 months younger than him. He was approaching 30 years old. He was about to come onto the scene. One who is more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then, it's not good news after that, is it? It's not good news in verse 17. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barns. Now that part is good news, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. a reckoning day, a judgment time. Yes, he's coming. He's coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit with fire, but also coming for judgment, or a time of judgment. I'm not the Christ. That's what he was saying. But the Christ is coming. Now, with John, when they thought it might be the Christ, and when Jesus came, some people that were waiting for him had unrealistic expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to do. Many people thought that the Messiah would come as a great military leader like King David. And he is referred to often as of the house and lineage of David. Many of the people of Jesus' day wanted the Messiah to be the one who would lead them in getting the Romans out of their country. Others, we find in John chapter 6, after they had Jesus was into his ministry, and he had fed a crowd of 5,000 on one day, Jesus himself said, "You didn't come out here for me to save your souls. You're only out here listening to me today because I fed you yesterday." So some had the expectation that Jesus would feed them again and maybe again and maybe again. If you didn't have to buy groceries with your income, you'd be pretty well off, would we not? And some of them expected Jesus to be the grocery provider, lunch every day at least. John chapter 6, I believe it's verse 26. Wrong expectations, unrealistic expectations about Jesus are still with us. Some expect him to make us rich. And there are some preachers that are preaching, if you trust Jesus, if you send us your money and plant the seed, he'll make you rich. Well, don't believe them. He may, but he hasn't promised that. If you just follow Jesus, but you got to send us your money to really be following him, he'll make you rich. Our organization. Some expect Jesus today to have an unrealistic expectation of him, expecting Jesus to be their personal servant and to grant every wish that they have. Some expect Jesus to give a trouble-free life, and I've heard it over and over. Well, I thought if I became a Christian, life wouldn't be as tough. Jesus never promised a trouble-free life. Some expect no disagreements among Jesus' people. But a study of the New Testament, a quick study of the New Testament, says that Jesus never promised this. Peter and Paul had some disagreements. Paul and Barnabas had some disagreements. They were all still servants of Jesus and members of the greater church. Jesus just taught them how to get through and how to resolve their disagreements. He teaches us how to resolve them, not that we won't have them. I wondered this morning as we are approaching Christmas, as we're approaching the celebration of the birth of Jesus, are our expectations realistic or are they unrealistic? Are they in keeping with the teachings of Jesus and Peter and Paul and John the Evangelist and John the Baptist and Stephen, who ended up being stoned, being a devout follower of Jesus? Please know that Jesus never promised a trouble-free life. He just promised to help us get through all the troubles that come our way. He never promised us riches, at least on earth, just that he would supply our need according to his riches. He never promised to grant our every request or our every wish, but to give what we ask in his name or what we ask according to his will. And please know that Jesus is not our personal errand boy or our valet. But he does help us in our time of need. But one thing He does promise us is eternal life with Him and His kingdom. Now, I think more sad than having unrealistic expectations of Jesus is having no expectations at all. No hope. No dreams. And that's the situation of many people when they come to church. I wonder if we come to church expecting to hear a word from God, or do we come to church just because somebody forced us, or what? Do we come to church expecting to be forgiven, or do we pray the prayer of confession expecting to be forgiven? Or do we not have any hope in God? Do we come to church hoping to be encouraged? And certainly the church is a place of encouragement. Do we come to church expecting a blessing? Do we come to church expecting to be inspired? Do we come to church expecting to be challenged? Folks, we need to come to God's house expecting. And what about our expectations of ourselves and Jesus? What about your expectations of yourself and Jesus in relationship to you? Is there any question that we know that He is the Messiah? It wasn't John, it was Jesus, the Messiah. That He is the Christ, or the English word is He is the Savior. Is there any question but what that we know that He died to pay for the sins of the world? And if the people of the world, any of the people or all of the people of the world would receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal life, that He would give it to them? We talk about that a lot, but do we really believe that it comes to us? Do we really expect, when we put our faith and trust in Him, that He really does save us? That anything spiritual happens? Have we allowed ourselves to trust Jesus? Maybe that's the better question. And then, as kingdom people, as people of the kingdom of God, do we expect anything to be different because we are kingdom people? Do we expect anything in our life to be different because we have been forgiven? Well, one thing that Jesus teaches us, if we've been forgiven, we need to forgive. And He really goes on to say, if we are not forgiving people ourselves, that we need to expect forgiveness. 6th chapter of Matthew, if you want to go read it again. So, forgiven, we are forgivers. We forgive. Having been loved with the unexplainable love, we love. Having received, we become givers. Having been reconciled to God, we reach out to be reconciled to our fellow man. We become agents of reconciliation, and then we work to get our fellow man reconciled to God. Come, thou long expected Jesus, come and set thy people free. What are you expecting from Jesus? I don't know your heart. I don't know who has invited Jesus to come into their life and change them and forgive them, redeem them. He offers to come. the writer of the Revelation quotes Jesus, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you, and you with me." This might be the time that, whether you came expecting or not, that you open your heart's door and invite Jesus to come. Come, thou long expected Jesus. It's number 124. Let's stand and sing together.